Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will join us for the 8 o'clock hour. Rumor has it he will be here earlier than that, so we look forward to that.
Yeah, Nick especially looks forward to it.
Yeah,
Nick really savors this time with PK.
He does.
He might have listened to us again. Look at him. He's reading a book.
Doing anything else.
What book do I read, Joe?
I don't know.
What book would I read?
That's a good question. There's a question of the day. What book would Nick Keyser read?
What's my list of things to say to PK? There's the book, I guess.
Oh.
The list could be long.
Mad Libs. Yes.
Mad Libs.
Put some F-bombs in there.
Yeah.
For PK's enjoyment. Did Jeff Fisher leave him a gift?
I didn't check the chair.
No.
I don't know. I need to look. We'll see. Joe, the Nashville Predators, 26-23-2 overall, 51 games into the year. They resume play on Saturday at home as they take on the Arizona Coyotes. So I hope they've enjoyed their nice break, their bye week. I've seen some pictures rolling in of nice beach locations that they've been on and on the boat and all those things. So hopefully those guys have had a good time. Back at the hockey playing part of their job coming up on Saturday against the Arizona Coyotes. So they're right there in the mix, right there in the mix for a playoff spot. And, you know, LA's there. They fired their coach. St. Louis is in the mix. Seattle's in the mix. Calgary, Arizona, kind of right all there together in the playoff mix in the Western Conference. And we'll see whether or not the Predators have what it takes coming down the stretch here to get in the playoffs and get back in there and see if they can make a run of things in the first round against, you know, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be against your Dallas's or Colorado's or Vancouver's or whoever's of the world. So it's going to be a tough matchup if the Predators get in the playoffs. But we'll see whether or not they can get there. Has the way, I guess I'll ask it this way. As you view kind of two things going on at the same time, they've got this season to worry about and their chances to make the playoffs, and they've got some veteran players who have done a lot of winning before, and we'll see if they can bring the young guys along with them. So there's that to worry about, what they can accomplish this year. And then there's the long-term plan that Barry Trotz has kind of been talking about ever since he took over the job, where, you know, he's preached patience, that this could take a while, and he's made no bones about it. They got to go find a franchise game-changing centerman one way or the other, whether that's via trade, via the draft, and he tried to do it last year. I think it's pretty clear to move up into the top five and was unsuccessful. So how has the way that this season has gone impacted the way you view their long-term plan? I guess how close do you think they are to getting back to being a true competitor in the Western Conference? Because I think everybody would agree. You know, anything can happen in the playoffs, and if your goalie gets hot, then maybe you got a shot. But I would not classify the Predators, even if they make the playoffs this year, as a Stanley Cup contender. So how do you get back to being there? How does this season impact the way you view that?
That's a very good question. I don't have a quick answer. I mean, look, the season has been overall, to me, has been a pleasant surprise. I know lately it hasn't been as good, and I feel like, you know, you can sense a little Andrew Brunette frustration with some of the recent performances and various players. I guess in a way I can look at this season and say I thought more of the young guys that we're trying to find out about would really step forward. I thought we'd get more from Cody Glass. I definitely thought we'd get more from Juuso Pärssinen.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Novak gets a little bit of a mulligan with the injury. I still think there's a good player there. We've talked about that, but still, even with him, like, what's the future? What are you going to do with him contractually and all that stuff? I mean, of all the young guys, who has stood up and declared, absolutely, I'm going to be part of this thing moving forward? I think Evangelista is.
I would agree.
And, like, look, there's some other pleasant, like, I think Jeremy Lauzon this year has been a nice development for them, right? But I think overall, the young guys, you wanted to see, to me, more young guys saying, yeah, I could be like a top six guy here in the next few years. And I don't think there's enough of that. So from that perspective, I think it's been a little bit underwhelming. Look, I mean, Nyquist and O'Reilly were really good signings for this team to be competitive. Great job. I mean, it's a heck of a line, and Forsberg is a star, and so there's a lot to still like. That's why they're in there. But in terms of what's the core group, to me the timeline has always been, as we've talked about many times, the timeline is Forsberg and Yossi and maybe Saros.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, of course. But, like, can you get it? Can you get everything else up to a certain level while those guys are still great to really do something? So it's the clock's ticking, even though it's just starting out for Trotz and Brunette.
Yeah, they're in an interesting spot because I look at their overall, like, pipeline of players that they have. And I think it's okay. Like, I think it's, you know, it's not elite, but I think it's good, right? Like, you've got, I think, Joakim Kemmel down in Milwaukee. There's a lot of reason to be excited about him. I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player in the NHL. Askarov has been unbelievable this year. I mean, look, even on the back end, and we've seen him some here this year, I think Stastny's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think Spencer Stastny's pretty good. You know, you look down, you know, Svechkov has played well in Milwaukee. So a lot of their
Wood, you know.
Yeah, Matthew Wood.
Down the line.
He develops into something. So a lot of their young guys that we've not seen at the NHL level yet look pretty good. So that is encouraging. Now, I always try to tell people, I've seen a lot of players over my years of covering hockey. They look pretty darn good in junior and look pretty darn good in the American Hockey League.
Right.
And then you get to the NHL and it's a different story. And they just can't figure it out. And I'm sure.
This team's an example of
exactly.
That.
Like, I am sure that a couple of these guys will work out and they'll be long-term members of the Predators. Some of them may even be top six forwards and pretty good players. There will probably also be one or two or three guys that we're talking about that Predators fans are really excited about moving forward. Either one won't be here via trade or number two won't work out. I mean, it's just how things work in the National Hockey League. So I still look – I always come back to one question that we've talked about forever with this group, and I don't think the equation on that has really changed. Like, to me, in order to ultimately get to where they're going to want to get to, and that is being a legitimate threat to win a Stanley Cup, I still look down the middle and think, who is your game-breaking player? Ryan O'Reilly has been awesome for the Predators this year. Ryan O'Reilly, to me, by the time like the timeline all comes together, is not going to be your number one center.
Right.
He could be a good two. He may be a great three. Like, that's probably more likely a couple years down the road what he is a great three.
And Trotz has talked about how – I mean, that's kind of the plan.
Yeah.
Is to downshift him but still have a really nice player there.
So you don't have that guy right now, I don't think. Now, maybe Matthew Wood turns into that guy. We'll see. But how do you get it? And as we discovered last year, it's hard to do it because Barry Trotz, I think it's pretty clear. You know, I was sitting there at the desk at Bridgestone Arena on draft night, and there were all sorts of reports about, you know, Barry Trotz is trying like heck to get in the top five. And we heard Askarov's name get thrown out there. We heard some draft picks get tossed out there. He's trying like heck to get in the top five. And you see the players that went in the top five this year, and you're like, yeah, I'd be trying like heck to get in the top five too. Well, right now, the Predators, unless they, you know, they miss out on the playoffs barely and they have some lottery luck fall their way, they ain't picking the top five this year either. So they're still kind of, to me, somewhat in the same boat of, you know, they did a really good job making some signings this offseason, and they're going to be just competitive enough, I think, to miss out on, like, the top five.
Yeah.
So how do you go about changing that? How do you go about acquiring one of these guys if you're not going to be bad enough to do it, you know?
That's a great question. There's no sure answer. And, again, yeah, it's like – so like, think about, again, Parsonen. There's a guy who – I mean, who knows? I mean, like, they sent him down to Milwaukee, and Barry Trotz told Jared – it was a very interesting commentary on it. Like, you know, he needs to he's a centerman, so he needs to work on that. But, you know – Afanasyev's a guy. Like, the Preds have a lot of guys who look really good in Milwaukee, but then it's like, okay, so what are they at this level? I don't think they have that guy you're talking about in the pipeline. Maybe, like you said, Wood in a couple years, but you got to find a way to go get that guy. And again, I think one of the mechanisms is trading one of the goaltenders, right?
Yep.
You do have cap room in this offseason coming up, so. But it's got to be kind of an earth-shaking move to me, or else, you know, you're going to be like this. You're going to be pretty good, and you're hanging in, and it's fun to watch this team. You have ups and downs, and you'll be right there in the fringe, but with no, to me, real hope of actually chasing a cup.
I think it's pretty clear to me there's at least one and probably two gigantic moves that are going to happen somewhere in the next few years here for them to get back into being a legitimate threat. And what I mean by that is it's going to take either, you know, a stockpiling of assets where you can make a trade to go get one of those guys, which is hard to do, but not impossible. Or let's say they missed out on the playoffs this year and they got lucky with a lottery pick and they ended up picking like sixth or fifth and you got one of those guys. That's what it's going to take. And which one of those are going to happen, I have no idea. I think Barry Trotz has made it clear in some of the comments that he's made is he's going to be looking for those big swings via trade. And the good news is if you're a Predators fan, with what you did last year at the deadline, and we'll see what they do. You know, March 8th is the deadline this year. They could try to do it again. They've stockpiled a lot of assets. So you can try to keep doing that and position yourself to be available via trade. But again, a lot of those guys don't become available via trade, so we'll see what happens. More on the Predators coming up next. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. What do you make about this Pred season? What has this season shown you about the long-term plan of the Nashville Predators? How close are they to being a true Stanley Cup threat? More on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow night as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on LSU at home. Pre-game beginning at 7:45. Tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators. How do you feel about the Predators, their long-term plan? How has this season influenced the way that you viewed the Nashville Predators? Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cody says, is there an advantage for the Predators that they have less games remaining on their schedule so they have more time in between the rest of the conference with their games? What do you think of that? So they got 51 games played. They are in front of a lot of teams in the West in terms of games played. Now, a lot of those teams have also come back from their week off and are making up some of that ground on the Predators right now. But it's going to be a pretty crowded stretch down the stretch here for the Preds.
Thank you for
a lot
saying,
of games coming.
Thank you for saying week off instead of bye week. Really appreciate that.
It is the bye week.
You're learning. You're finally. I appreciate it. We're seeing progress. Yeah, I mean, it'll even out, right? I mean, you hope that they come back from this break right away and have some momentum and some energy, right?
Yeah.
So that's the idea. But obviously, different teams react differently to that break.
Well, they have some big games coming up, like, quickly. You got Arizona, who you're kind of right there with in the standings.
And you struggle with consistently.
And you, for some reason, can't find a way to beat them. You got New Jersey on Tuesday, and then it's Dallas, who's in your division, St. Louis, who you're fighting for a playoff spot with, Vegas, who's really good, and then L.A., who you're fighting for a playoff spot with, kind of right there all together. So some big games for the Predators coming up. Chip from Mount Juliet says, I like that Trotz has been fielding offers on Saros and potentially other stars. The iron is hot in many cases, could provide benefit for many years. I'm interested to see the Saros thing. I mean, the deadline, first off, how do the Predators play between now and then? Because I do think that that influences the way you operate to some degree. But does Trotz, number one, does any team around the league have a serious offer for UC Saros by the time the deadline comes around? And if so, does Trotz actually consider it? Or are you kind of resigned to the fact that you're making the goalie decision basically this offseason, when you have a chance to either sign him to a contract extension on July 1st or with a year left on his contract, you could trade him?
Yeah, I feel like your best value – when is it? What was the day of the deadline?
March 8th.
So you're talking about a month and a day. I think your best value seems to me like it would be someone right now who believes he's the last piece. Who would that be?
Well, I mean, you could make the argument New Jersey needs a goalie. You could make the argument Carolina needs a goalie. I mean, there are several teams in the East that, I mean, look, L.A. needs a goalie right now. But, I don't know if they're going to.
Don't talk bad about Big Save Dave.
Big Save Dave's played well. I don't know the Big Save Dave's who you want going down the stretch with.
That's the thing, too. To me, I would say if the return's amazing, yes. But, I mean, is there a hesitation to trade somebody in the West?
I wouldn't have that. Yeah.
If it's easily the best deal. Haul, then yeah. that's what it is. And then you miss the playoffs, and okay.
Well, it goes back to, again, because I think it's pretty clear based on comments that he had to you and other places. Like, to me, it was clear that Barry Trotz's plan heading into this season was to sign UC Saros to a long-term contract extension. Is that still the plan? Has that changed based on the way he's played? And maybe more importantly, has that changed based on the way that Askarov has played? Because Askarov has been otherworldly good down there in the minor leagues. And I can't help but think that at least a little part of your brain, if you're Barry Trotz, even if you're resigned to signing UC Saros to a contract, looks at Askarov and says, oh, man, he's been really good. And he is exhibiting everything you thought he could be when you drafted him. And I know Barry Trotz wasn't here when they drafted him. But he is exhibiting why you draft a goalie as high as they did with what he's doing right now. So I can't help but think that's not at least entered your mind if you're Barry Trotz.
But then you also put that into the timeline discussion, right? So he's been fantastic. And, I mean, I'm excited for whether he's here or somewhere else to see Askarov in this league with his personality and his talent and everything. It's going to be fun. But how quickly is he ready to be a starting goaltender giving you 55, 60 starts a season in this league to the level that you need in that timeline we just discussed, which is, again, to me, it's Forsberg and Yossi. You know, huge numbers for those guys, still great players. How many more years of them being great players? I guess maybe Yossi more than Forsberg, maybe a little bit shorter timeline.
Agreed.
So does it all come together to where Askarov is ready for that in, you know, like the year after next in this league?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, we got one text saying, I feel more optimistic about the Preds, even if they don't make the playoffs this year. I think a lot of questions can be answered with which unrestricted free agents / RFAs they signed this summer. I agree they're not ready to compete for a cup yet, but within 2 or 3 years, it wouldn't be too out of the question. I hear that, and they do have cap space. The problem is, like, the free agency class this year kind of sucks, to be honest with you. Like, it's not great. You got Steven Stamkos, who might be a free agent, and he'll be 34 years old with, I think, his best hockey behind him. You got guys like, you know, Voracek out there. Jake Guentzel is scheduled to be a free agent.
Lindholm.
He's a good player. Lindholm, who's a good player. None of these guys are great players, though. Like, Stamkos is a great player. He's 34 years old, and I still have my doubts as to whether or not Tampa's going to actually let him get out there and see what it looks like. But, I mean, going down the list here, not a ton of great free agents. And I think the reason for that is, number one, the cap has been a problem the last few years. So people have started, like, prioritize, like, their big players who they wanted to lock up. And number two, like, the 8-year deal thing is a thing, right? Like, when you're a free agent with your team, and this was the whole idea of why they put it in place, a lot of guys are signing 8-year deals with the team they're already on rather than taking 7-year deals in free agency out there. Right. So,
it's all guaranteed.
It's all guaranteed. It's not a great list. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, bud? Hey, this is my thing with Saros. He's an awesome dude. Like, I think we've done really well to get two awesome, talented, like, good people to play goaltender for the Predators in a row. But that's the problem I have, is, like, he's almost tied to Pekka somehow because he grew up behind him. Like, he's his big brother. So, in a way, I almost feel guilty saying it. But, yeah, I want to get rid of him. Like, if that's your one asset – that everybody's saying you have that could bring back a good return, and we're probably not doing anything deep. If we sneak in, cool, but, like, we're ahead of schedule here, and, you know, eventually you're going to move on to that kid, or we're all going to want to see that kid. So why not get something while he's still a hot commodity? Like, it's like I said, it's not like a hateful thing, man. I'm not like, get rid of him, he sucks. I'm like, let's get something while we can. He's not Pekka, man. Like, as bad as we want him to be, he's not Pekka Rinne.
Thanks for the call, Adam.
It's business, not personal.
Yeah. Well, like, the thing is, though, you know, he says we're going to eventually see Askarov. You may not. Like, Saros is young enough to where you could sign him to a long-term deal and still conceivably get pretty good value out of that contract.
And then you have, to me, you have to deal Askarov.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, that's the decision, right? Is, are you going with Saros, who has proven to be a really good NHL goaltender, albeit having a down year by his standards, but has proven
which
to be.
Doesn't help the whole
it
thing.
It does not at all. Like, right, I do think this would be a little bit easier if it was just like, oh, Saros is at a .920 save percentage, and right, he's stealing games left and right, and they're making the playoffs. Yeah. Like, okay, just sign him.
You can win a cup with that guy. Look at how he's playing. This year, it's like, wait, what's going on with that guy?
Right.
Doesn't help you. Doesn't help you if you're Barry Trotz.
It does not. So this is a really interesting spot that they're in, and again, to me, it all comes back to one thing. You got to find a way to get one or two of those game-changing forwards, and it's a really difficult thing to do. And the path to get there is very hard.
And this organization historically has been fantastic at identifying and drafting defensemen and goalies and not doing the same with forwards.
Yep, there's no question about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for a little buy or sell Tennessee Titans edition. I know.
And PK's here. Look at
Rex Road, very excited. PK will be with us next as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us now here on the program. PK, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Welcome
in. Happy to be here. I'm having a good week.
Rex Road had his jacket strolled out. You immediately removed that from the chair. It's good stuff.
Yeah, he's not a sharer of space. We know that.
Wait, what'd you do with my jacket?
I took it from my seat, and I threw it on your seat.
Damn you. Hey, before we get to PK, can I just – Kevin from Smyrna, can I yell at him real quick?
Sure.
So
I haven't seen what he said.
I just texted him back. But he's like, I can't believe you want to trade Saros. Trade our backup now. Bring the young goalie up behind Saros for a season or two, just like Saros was groomed under Pekka. And my response was, that would be all caps, terrible mismanagement of assets. You can't do that. In my opinion, you cannot do that. That is not an option.
People got to remember, it's not the same situation.
It's not at all the same situation.
Pekka was in his mid-30s when Saros was here. Saros is 29 years old. He's going to be 29 years old. So, a little bit different.
Right, like, keeping both of them, you need so much else. You can't have two goaltenders of that quality. And yes, that also means that you're paying Saros, you're giving him this second deal. If you do that, then you cannot have, to me, Askarov here as his apprentice. You need, one of them needs to bring back assets for you.
Totally agree.
All about the apprentice, Joe.
That's right.
Going back.
Are you ready for Titans buy or sell?
That's what got you started. Yeah, I didn't know this was happening, but I'm up for buying, selling. I think there'll be a lot of selling.
Well, there could be. We're going to find out right now. All right, let's start. The Titans must find another starting caliber edge rusher this offseason, either in the draft or in free agency. With all the list of shopping that they got to do, finding another edge rusher a priority. Do you buy or do you sell?
I'm going to sell. It would be great, but I just think that it's down the list. It's down the list, and most of the list above it is on the other side of the ball. Because I think that you have to really emphasize making things as good as possible for Will Levis. So I just can't put that as a must.
Okay,
I'm going to sell based on the same thing. I mean, you need it. You can never have enough of them. Yada yada. But I think they will blitz more. So this counting on the front four to get home on a regular basis, even when they're not doing it, I think will probably end. And I think by getting better in the secondary, which is a big focus, cornerback, that they could have a better overall defense by buying a little time, a little more often from the back end, though I know they'd rather rush well. I just think there are too many needs to be able to get one, though I'm going to look at the free agent edge rushers now, because it wouldn't surprise me if they did it. Josh Allen, Brian Burns, Hunter,
Ngakwe's out there,
Grenard. But, you know, those wouldn't be my big money guys.
I'm going to sell two just because I think the secondary is going to be more of a priority. You got a safety spot to fill with Byard gone, and you got corner that you got to take a look at. I mean, we'll see if Murphy Bunting is back or not. You feel good about McCreary. Other than that, you got corner spots that you got to fill, and whether it's in the draft or free agency.
They've got to make a decision. I don't think people realize this. And I don't know. This is a big secret. Voidable years are a new thing for the Tennessee Titans organization. Floyd Reese didn't believe in them at all, and they didn't do them for a long, long time. It was relatively new with Robinson, and I think – I don't remember who was first, but I think Tannehill might have been – the first guy that got voidable years.
But the last CBA also made them easier to do than when
for
Floyd
sure.
was
Fair.
Doing it. Yeah.
But Murphy Bunting, I believe, has a voidable year. Well, the void comes before, in most instances, the void comes before the contract's up. So March 12th or whatever the first date of free agency is, I'm told the void comes in February for most guys. So I don't know that that dictates what you're doing with that guy, but Murphy Bunting has a void that comes before the end of this contract. I don't have the money in front of me, but that makes it a little more interesting.
Buy or sell? Nicholas Petit-Frere should be the starting right tackle in 2024.
Sell. Nicholas Petit-Frere should be in a large group of guys who are gravy guys in contention for third/fourth tackle/, and he can play guard some, maybe, as we'll see how Bill Callahan evaluates these guys. The depth should be much better because I think these guys are going to be better. The guys who've shown they can play, and Nick showed as a rookie that he can play. I think those guys will be coached up to be better. And so I think he has a good chance of being a third type. I don't know how far it goes, though. A lot of people have gone with the Bill Callahan hire, like, oh, well, now they don't need to go get premier guys because Callahan can coach up
exactly
these guys. I'm not That's real big on that. Get talent for starters. Then if you get to your third or fourth guy the way Cleveland did, have capable people. I think Nick is one of those capable people, potentially.
Yeah, I would sell on should, but I'm not – I guess I'm buying him as a possibility. I'm buying him
See,
as,
I thought you'd buy. He should.
Well, I'm buying him as a contender. Didn't like what I saw last year. I'm very interested to see. I think he is the one guy, like Raiden's. I think Raiden's he's a depth guy, you know. And some of these other guys, I don't know what. I think there's a limitation on what anyone can do. But I think with Petit-Frere, there's a little bit more there.
I think it's conceivable that they would get one fewer guy than we think and throw Raiden's and NPF and Duncan and whoever else, maybe an undrafted rookie, maybe a really low-ranking free agent that they see as a reclamation project, another Andre Dillard, but cheap, into a basket and say, one of these guys is going to be our right tackle. I think that scenario is more likely with Bill Callahan coaching them than it was before. So in that regard, you know, maybe a small sale, but I think they need to get, you know, that's one of the positions they need to fill, in my estimation.
I feel strongly about this, and I'm selling. I thought he was okay his rookie year. Everybody talks about the suspension last year as if this, like, the suspension somehow excuses the terrible play that we saw from him when he was on the field. Like, it's not like he was hurt.
Right.
He was suspended. He looked bad in the preseason.
You're
right. Exactly. He looked bad in the preseason, and then when he got on the field, he was horrible. So there's not been much on the field that makes me believe with any sort of confidence that he can be a starting-level right tackle. I don't know, you know, how you guys feel about it. I think right tackle – everybody knows left tackle is a priority. I think right tackle is not as high of a priority as left tackle, but you need to be trying to find a right tackle to meet.
You put it second or third on the line?
Second. I'm putting it second.
Ahead of center.
Ahead of center. That's me.
Being content with Brewer or thinking Brunskill goes there or and Brewer's unsigned as well.
I would be content with Brewer. Like, I would be, if you had to choose between the two, I would rather them go find a starting level right tackle and keep Aaron Brewer at center.
You just gave Stillman a
segment. I'm texting Stilly right now.
Texting.
Just gave him a segment.
Wake him up.
He can unmask Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning being the intermediary from Brian Callahan again. That was good. Okay. Buy or sell. Dylan Raidens will end up being a more impactful Titan than Treylon Burks. Ooh. Dylan Raidens will end up being a more impactful Titan than Treylon Burks. Buy or sell.
I mean, can I push? I think they'll be equally unimpactful.
No, you have to pick.
Yeah. I buy.
Do you?
I'll sell. I'm still going to – I'm going to look at Callahan coming in here, new staff, new start.
New injuries.
Maybe. Some talent there. And I think – I'm not sitting here saying get ready for the 1,200-yard season for Treylon Burks. But I just think – I think Raidens goes back to only if needed next year. And I think Burks is needed next year. So I'm going to – whatever it is. What does that mean? I'm selling or buying?
I'm buying. You're selling. I'm buying.
You're buying that Raidens is more. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to
sell. I'm buying also. Yeah, I'm buying lightly. Because of this. And it's not like I'm an expert on Cincinnati Bengals football. So tell me if you guys think I'm wrong. I don't see in the Bengals system a lot of time to build up your speed. I think things happen fast. And Treylon Burks, the more you watch him, the more everything takes time to build up.
Yeah.
And again, I think the offensive line is going to be better, but I just don't see – and I think they'll design plays for him and do everything they can to get him to work. But I think you get impatient with the guy on multiple levels, impatient for the build-up speed that it takes for him to do things, and impatient for him to get healthy and be ready to go.
All right, last one real quick. Tajay Spears should be the lead back for the Titans in 2024. Forget about what you think will happen. Tajay Spears should be the lead back for the Titans in 2024. Buy or sell?
It's a good one.
Buy.
I'm gonna sell.
Okay.
I buy.
Go ahead. Why?
I think we're throwing around the modern offense label too much. But I think to be the kind of offense, I mean, if you look at Joe Mixon, he's got a lot of targets up there in addition to what he did. And his total yardage, I think, if you put in his receiving yards, topped Derrick Henry last season, if I'm not mistaken. I think you need a back that can do all the routes, and I think you need him out there on first and second down.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I'm selling just because I think they need to have at least an equal to him out there. I think he's good. I think he's a promising player. Some of the comparisons for him, like Aaron Jones, for example, I don't think he's as good as Aaron Jones.
No, I think people are too high on him based on what he's done so far. I'm doing more projecting. And yeah. I don't think he's going to be fantastic necessarily. But I think he can give you some things on first and second.
I'd buy him as a 1A, 1B, but not as a clear one.
I'm with you. I'm going running back by a committee. I will sell. This has been Titans Buy or Sell.
Nice.
I have
that
more questions,
good.
But we didn't
stuff.
Get to. Yeah. I was going to ask you if you think DeAndre Hopkins actually wants to be here next year, but we didn't get to that.
Well, so we can do
we'll
it later.
A little bit later. 615.
I think he wants to be here because they want him to be here.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Paul Kuharski in the building. We'll do that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45/7:50 here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Tootsies in the background.
But I'm not talking about Stilly, though, but I'm always up for some Tootsies. And I really hope you play some Captain Sunil before this show ends, Nick, or we're going to have an issue. But I'm going to get to this quickly.
Captain and Tennille. Captain of what? Captain.
No, don't pretend like that wasn't like your prom song, dude.
No, I know Captain and Tennille. I'm saying to Nick, Captain and Tennille is the most vague reference ever.
Google it.
Do you know who Captain and Tennille are?
He can. Why? Google. Why would I know what that is?
Exactly.
It's a long story. I got to get to this quickly, okay? So let me give you some quick background, first of all. I've said this many times, but I want PK to understand. You know, sports fandom, it's tough. I think basically, PK, you got what, the Yankees, right?
Yankees, like that's like Chelsea, U.S. soccer.
Okay, that's right. You got soccer and you got the Yankees. Like for me, I grew up a Detroit and Michigan sports fan, but like the Pistons and Red Wings of old, they are – I love the old teams. I don't care now. That's just how I am. I have the Detroit Tigers. That's my fan outlet. And so I just maybe just because baseball, I've never really done anything much in terms of covering MLB. So, but the one thing that I also have that I'm very passionate about is hating the Detroit Lions, hating them with every fiber of my being. And that started when they ruined Barry Sanders' career, and he retired early, and I decided I'm going to spend the rest of my life making fun of him. It's been a great choice. Couple Sundays ago, I have an admission to make. I took my family to we went to Slider House. Shout out to Slider House,
great spot.
We went to it's a Lions bar, and so we found it and we said, let's have some fun, let's have a day, let's go.
Great idea.
We played euchre, and it was all, you know, bunch of Lions fans in there, and the Lions are up 24/7. The place is going nuts. My kids are screaming. Everybody's chanting like Jared Goff and all this stuff. And I actually felt something inside my body.
Oh, I knew you did.
And I started texting people. Just like your dad said, Robbie, little Joey Rexrode throwing the ball to himself, touchdown, Billy Sims! And I felt it, and I started texting people. And the thing is, my son said to me, he said, you actually whisper to yourself, I can't believe this is happening. This is all after the fact. And yeah. It's like, I knew. First of all, how could you let them suck you in? Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. But second of all, the moment that you said, oh, my gosh, they're going to the Super Bowl, you knew they were going to freaking blow it. And they blew it in just glorious fashion. I love how we're still sitting here making excuses for Dan Campbell. And I know that all of the young NFL reporters just, oh, Dan Campbell, do what you do, buddy. Great. Okay, well, he was a stupid coach in this game, and he freaking ran the ball on third and goal to kill a timeout, to kill any chance of coming back. Forget the field goal choices. But I felt it, man. I felt my love, my deep, dark, way back love for the Detroit Lions, which is a sickness, and it infiltrated my body. And I just want to vow to all of you, it will never happen again. I'm going to devote the rest of my life to hating the Detroit Lions. I can't wait till they go 7-10 next year and everybody cries and then Dan Campbell can be fired and Ben Johnson can be promoted, except then he'll text him and say he doesn't want the job or whatever the hell awful things are going to happen to that franchise. They deserve every single one of them. How dare you bring me back into the fold like that? It wow. hurts.
And that's Joe Rexrode's 8-day late rant.
It took me this long. It took me this long to get to this, man. It took me this long to admit it and to get to the point where I could stand up, look at myself in the mirror, and say, "Today, I again hate the Detroit Lions. I'm
could
good
sense
enough.
It.
I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, I hate the Detroit Lions."
I could sense it coming. Like as they built on their wins, particularly after the divisional round, I was like, "Rexrode's going to fall back in. He's going to fall back into the trap." And sure enough, you did. And now, you know, mid second half of that game, you're getting flashbacks of Gary Danielson throwing interceptions. Just a
tough
time.
Here's the thing: a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so your
the
house.
The hell are you talking about, Woodrow Wilson?
Your house with many Lions fans, with the patriarch anti-Lions, is bound to crumble.
Well, look, I tried to. I've said this too. I've tried to. My middle child in particular. He's
Lion,
you know, 16 now, yeah. And all through as a kid, and you know, the Calvin Johnson jersey, Matthew Stafford jersey, and it's like, look, man, I'm not going to tell you you can't do it, but I'm going to advise you against it, okay? Because it's just going to be a terrible fan experience.
Dude, if my kid would root for my childhood team, I would be thrilled. Your kid is rooting
your
for your childhood
team.
Your
team is the Yankees. Shut up.
He won't root for him. He's a Phillies guy with his mother.
But rooting for the Yankees is good. They win. They're
not
an embarrassing sport. Wow. Oh, you'll be okay.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying if he would root for them with me, I would love it. Your kid's rooting for your team with you, and you're shunning him. That's terrible choice.
No. I abandoned that team long before he was ever born. Long before.
And here's a chance to circle back. And complete the circle.
Yeah. Why?
And what you're
for
doing
this?
Is breaking
just
the circle.
For this crap?
Yes, this is what sports is.
Got to the title
it's
game,
more
man.
About losing than winning.
Are they coming here next year? I can't remember.
No, it's up there.
They're going up there?
Yeah, it's up
oh,
there.
Oh, boy. So yeah. A reunion trip.
I can't wait. Joe's going to invite the entire press corps, all three of us, to his family's house. They're going to cook enough food for all three of us.
Go get Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell keeps receipts, man. He's probably listening right now. He'll get after you on the sideline over there. Apparently,
oh, that
everybody,
GM performance
everybody
was
in the Detroit organization keeps receipts, apparently, is what
that,
we've learned.
That, yeah. Holmes' press conference was terrible. And when they flop next year, I can't wait for him to stand up there and talk about all of his bad decisions.
Yeah, I think he was in particular going after one of my former coworkers at the Free Press in particular with that. But I know it was a little bit like, dude, calm down, okay? I mean, you know, we'll see.
A text from Scott Stanley, my father. So what we've learned is Joe Rexroad's love is Detroit Lion kryptonite. They were fine until you allowed yourself to believe. Allowed yourself to get back in there.
And the second half.
And then the ghost came.
I mean,
the ghost of Christmas past.
I really did. Apparently, and again, I don't remember this, but
oh, it's a fumble. Joe's got hope. He's a fumble. It's a fumble. Oh, Josh Reynolds has stopped catching the ball. Joe Rexroad in Nashville's heart began to change. And Josh Reynolds' hands turned to stone.
Oh, Dan Campbell forgot he's got a field goal kicker. He's not even on the roster.
His hands turned to stone and my heart returned to stone. That is a good – yeah, it's tough, man. Because all through their run, I was like, yeah, they'll blow it. But it's 24-7 at halftime. I'm like, they're actually going to the freaking Super Bowl.
You were the guy.
To the Super Bowl.
You were the guy in the crowd in Major League is who you were. Ah, they'll blow it. Don't worry. That's who you were.
Some people are tuning in and they're going – these guys still haven't found better content than the Lions.
Big Detroit Lions.
The Lions are usually really good fodder.
And the Slider House is the Lions bar, and Robbie and Rex wrote the Lions talk show.
That's what we do. But for the texter asking, I did not wear Lions gear. I do not have Lions gear. That's I will good. Not Just, have
He
Lions
stole some
gear.
From his son. He was decked out in a Lions
hey,
scarf.
You got a shirt?
That looked
Where's
good.
That scarf?
Little half shirt?
That soccer-style scarf. I want that one.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll get all into everything Titans next with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.